And you knew where we were going to be a year from now. And it was kind of, I don't know, for me it was just too predictable. But we are back on this series of giving. And if you remember, I told you that this is a series that comes from the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. When I was over in Africa, we taught workshops on the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And basically how it works is there's a series of chains on different topics. And so that you can pick a topic and then kind of it'll go through a series of 6 to 9 verses on that topic. And so we're going to be going through a chain on giving. And we've already looked at 4 different verses and we're going to look at 2 more today. But I want us to review because I want us to take away some lessons about giving. I really believe this will be helpful to you if you can remember these as you go forward in life about kind of having a philosophy of giving. And so I want to just review our first verse that we looked at was Deuteronomy 16:17. It says, "Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." And so the thing that I want us to remember is that everyone give according to their blessing. So let's say that together. Everyone give according to their blessing. Let's do that again. Everyone give according to their blessing. Very good. And then the next verse that we looked at was 2 Samuel 24:24. And that was where David said to somebody who wanted to give him some sacrifices. Right, he was going up to sacrifice to worship the Lord, and there was a gentleman who was just going to give him the animals to sacrifice, and David responds and says, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And so from there, I want us to remember that we are to give of our own resources. So let's say that together. Give from my own resources. I really feel like we can do better than that. All right, maybe I'll give you a cue. I'll say 2 Samuel 24:24, and then you guys say, give from my own resources. All right, let's try that. 2 Samuel 24:24. All right, that's working better. Okay, the next verse, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." And so, heart or conscience. All right. So Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Very good. And then the last one that we looked at 2 weeks ago was Matthew 6, 3. And that says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And that passage is talking about the reason that we're giving is not, it should not be for other people to give us recognition. It shouldn't be for other people to say, "Oh, wow, look at what he's doing," right? It should be because we are doing it to honor and to please God. And so I want us to remember, give out of a genuine love for God. All right, Matthew 6, 3. Very, very good. Okay, and so all of those 4 of those verses are really talking about giving to the Lord. And this morning we're going to kind of switch it up and talk about giving to others, because the Bible says that we're not only supposed to give to the Lord, but we're also supposed to have a charitable disposition. We're to have a desire to help those who are in need. And so today we're going to be talking and our first verse that we're going to look at is Matthew 5 and verse 42. So if you are paying attention, which I know you guys are, 2 weeks ago we looked at Matthew 23 and 24, and then Matthew 6, 3, and those are all parts of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at a verse that's kind of smack dab in the middle of those two. That's Matthew 5, 42. And it says, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." That's kind of a hard pill to swallow, right? I mean, if you just read it, give to him who asks you. Do you ever get asked to do things? Right? Who doesn't get asked to do things, right? I remember growing up, people would come and ask my mom, "Hey, we could use some help with this, you know?" A phrase I think Randy likes to use, it. It's not volunteered, it's voluntold, right? And we kind of sometimes get a little bit bitter about that, right? We sometimes kind of get annoyed with that. We get frustrated with that. And here, this verse is challenging that idea, that thought process. And it just says, give. To him who asks of you, give. And it's like, well, wait a second. There's got to be more to this story, right? Like, we can't just give to everybody that asks of us, right? Can we? Well, let's look at the context of this verse. The verse is the Sermon on the Mount. I kind of said that. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus deals with different issues like anger, murder, lust, adultery, divorce. Since that was 2,000 years ago, and we have evolved as a society, we no longer have to deal with those issues, right? So what is Jesus talking about? Well, this section here is found, Matthew 5:42, is found at the end of an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So in verses 38 through 42, Jesus is dealing with what should be our attitude towards those who impose upon us. And I'm not talking about our friends. I'm not talking about the people that we like, right? I'm talking about the people we don't like. I'm talking about our enemies. People are going to take us to court, right? People are going to slap us upside the head. How are we going to deal with these people? What should our disposition or attitude towards them be? And he challenges us not to retaliate, right? But to give more than what's required. Now, our culture is based on the idea of rights. We have rights, right? It's in our Declaration of Independence, right? It's so obvious. That's what our declaration is. We hold these truths to be self-evident. It's so obvious that we are endowed with certain rights. And our whole society is built up around the idea of rights. Now, is that wrong? No, right? God is concerned about justice. God is a God of justice. And if you look at the Old Testament, that's what it says, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That is justice. That is good. God would not command something if it were evil. And so God commanded this. This is justice. And so when we think about government, what is government's job? They're the ministers of justice, right? And so it's right for them to be concerned about justice. When you go into court, that's what we're, what is just? What is right? If you've been hurt or damaged by somebody, they are to give you restitution. So what is Jesus talking about? Well, I want us to think of something different other than the idea of rights and justice. I want us to think of a different situation, and I thought of investing, right? Investing is where you have a resource. It might be time. It might be money. It might be land, right? It's something, and you want to use that resource to grow your amount of resources, right? You want to earn more money, or you want to, you know, whatever it is. You want to have more. And so what do we do in order to be able to grow or to get what we want, which is to grow our money? Let's just use money for as a resource. What do we do? Well, a lot of times we will invest it or give it to somebody else who will then use their their labor, their ideas, right, their resources, and they will hopefully bring back a profit, right? That's the idea of the parable of the talons, right? There was one who got 10 talons, one who got 5, and one got 1. No, I'm sorry. There was one that got 5, one got 2, and then one got 1. I think that's how it went. But anyway, when the king came back, or the person who was in charge came back, right? They had increased the amount of resources that was theirs, that was invested. How do we do that? How do we get that? Well, we have to take risks, right? Are we owed a return on our investment? Right? Can you just take my $20 and put it under the mattress? And 10 years from now, look under the mattress and pull out my $20 and say, I'm supposed to have $40 under here now. Right? Somebody robbed me. Is that how it works? No, we're not owed more money. Right? Now, maybe if we put our money in a bank account and it says, I will give you such and such interest, then yes, we're owed that. But we have to risk our resources in order to be able to earn more money. What happens when we take a risk and it doesn't return an investment? Do we go to that person and say, you're a horrible person. Give me my money. Right? No, because we recognize that we took the risk. Right? For example, we just had our association meeting and we have like $600,000 set aside in a fund, and they pull out some of that every year and they pay our regional minister and give money to our regional team to be able to do things for our region and for our association. So each association has a fund, and out of that we're able to contribute towards the needs of the association and the region. Well, last year was a really bad year for the stock market. And so our fund was like this, right? And nobody was upset about it, right? Why wouldn't we be upset about losing? I think it was like $50,000 we lost out of $650,000. Why wouldn't people be upset? It's because we know that there's a risk, right? We know there's a risk, and things are going to go up sometimes and things are going to go down sometimes. And so we take on that risk. Well, what's more important, money or people? Right? And I want us to challenge, I'm not saying that this is exactly what Christ is saying here, but I want us to challenge ourselves with this thought process. What if we could invest or have that mentality of investing in people? What would you want people to know? As Christians, our job is to communicate the love of God with people, right? We want them to know and understand God's love for us and for them. What risks are you willing to take to show people that you love them and that God loves them? God, Christ here is challenging our thought process. Yes, we have the right to, you know, to not be taken advantage of. But Jesus is saying, I want you to set that aside for a minute and think about what is it that you're trying to accomplish in your life. Are you merely just trying to have your rights respected? Or are you? Do you have a greater goal, a greater purpose in your life? And he goes on in the next section of this passage, in the next section of this sermon, Matthew 5, 43 through 48, to challenge and to square directly on this idea. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you will may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so Christ says, instead of being concerned about justice, we as followers of Christ, the church, should be concerned about the love of God. Our desire should be that we want the very best for others and being willing to sacrifice to help others obtain their best. That's my definition of love. Love is wanting the very best for others and being willing to sacrifice to help them obtain their best. What is the very best for others? Is to do God's will, right? To know and experience God's love, joy, and freedom in their life through Christ. And Jesus says, if we have the same mentality as the world, which is, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. But if you're mean to me, I'll be mean to you. Right? Two can play that game, right? Two can tango. Jesus says, no, that should not be our mentality. Matter of fact, we should have the mentality that we are willing to be taken advantage of. What does that mean? We're willing to take risks to help others. Not just the ones we like, even the ones we don't like. Well, what if they're not nice to us after we're nice to them when they were mean to us, right? Well, that's a risk we got to take. Somebody's got to break the cycle somewhere, and it's not justice that's going to break the cycle. The only thing that's going to break the cycle is love. Love changes people's hearts. Love, and often the consequence of being harmed and damaged without restitution. Right? Suffering. Suffering often changes people's hearts. Right? What do they show on television when they want you to give money towards something? Right? They show you suffering. Right? Maybe it's a little kid starving in Africa, right? Maybe it's a little pet that's been, you know, not taken care of, right? Why? Because it changes our heart. We have compassion that God has placed in our heart, and so it's important. And we have to be willing to take risks to help others see the most important thing, which is that God loves them. So, number one is give out of genuine love for others. When you see somebody, maybe they're not kind, maybe they're not happy, right? We need to sit back and say, okay, how does God see this person? What are they going through that I don't know about? And take a second and say, okay, God, how can I really show this person that you love them? Is it by responding in anger because they've said something mean to me? No, we need to give out of a genuine love for others. And then the second thing is we need to give freely. Give freely. And this is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And this is, Jesus is saying, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, you're like, okay, well, I'll sign up for the last one, right? Anybody here can raise the dead? Well, the Holy Spirit's here, right? So he can raise the dead. But okay, well, what's the context in this passage? That's going to be very important. The context in this passage is Jesus has given authority over the 12 apostles to do what? Cast out unclean spirits, to heal sickness and disease, to raise the dead. And now he is sending them out. He's commissioning them for service, right? He gave them power and authority, and now he's saying, here's how I want you to go out and use this authority that I've given you. And this is found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag or for your journey, nor two tunics. Right? So don't even pack a change of clothes. Nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. So the idea is they're going to go out to Israel and to preach the message, right? That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah has come. And how are they going to feed themselves? Well, that's what he's going to address next. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, there's a lot packed in here, right? This is kind of a limited mission that the Lord is giving the apostles, right? In the Great Commission, he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But here he's just saying, no, I don't want you to go to all the world. I just want you to go to the house of Israel, right? So this is a limited mission that God is, or that Jesus is commissioning the apostles on. He sends them out, and he says, you know, you're going to go out, and if you go into a city and somebody receives your message and their house is able to hold you and they're able to feed you, then go into that house and bless them and stay there. And if they refuse your message and they don't treat you well, then don't bless their house or their city and leave and go to another city. If persecution breaks out, go to another city. And he says here that you don't need to take anything for your provision because the worker is worthy of his food, right? Sometimes I come across this idea that we should all have just house churches and there shouldn't be any full-time pastors and there shouldn't be any full-time Christian workers, that it should all just kind of be a volunteer thing. Well, no, this is Paul, or Jesus here is commissioning the apostles and saying, no, don't even pack any money at all, because you're going to go out and minister to people and they are to provide for your needs. And if they don't, right, it's going to be worse for them in the day of judgment than for Sodom and Gomorrah. So there is this idea that even in the spiritual realm, that those who are providing a benefit, right, who are doing spiritual work, they reap from that effort the ability to provide for their family, for themselves, etc. But what I really want to focus in here is, what is our attitude towards giving? Well, it says that we should freely give. What are they giving? Right? They're giving the spiritual power that God granted them, right? The ability to heal, the ability to raise the dead, the ability to give eternal life, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And how did they get that? Did they sign up for a course online? Did they go to college, seminary? Went into a bunch of debt? How did they get that ability? It was given to them freely by God, right? Christ just says, here, I'm giving you this authority, now go out and do it. And just as we received it freely, we are supposed to give freely. We're not supposed to say, well, does he deserve it? No, he doesn't deserve it. But we didn't deserve it, right? Did any of the 12 deserve to have the power to heal the dead? No, right? So we're supposed to give freely without reservation or qualification. We're supposed to just give. Now, when we give, should we evaluate our giving, right? Yes. If they rejected the message, you know, just keep wasting your time, right? Casting pearls before the swine. No, you give without reservation, and then when they reject what you've given them, then you move on. But we aren't supposed to, what I really want us to think about is giving with strings attached, right? It's like, here's $20 to help you out, and then I'm just going to hold on to this and see, did you really need that money? Did you really, I'm not going to give you another $20 until you do this, that, and the other thing, right? No, we're supposed to give without reservation. Give freely. We received freely from God, right? Even evil people receive from God all kinds of benefits, air, sunshine, rain, right? And so we ought to give freely. When I was up at the association meetings, I was talking to one of the guys, and he talked about how he's trying to teach some guys this lesson, right? That we need to have this idea of disposition, of giving, charitable giving, just having this attitude of we're ready to give to those who are in need. And he kind of gave this challenge, and I just thought it was just perfect for this verse. And that is that what he does is he takes his wallet and he predetermines, I'm going to give $20 away today. I have $20. I've already given it away. It's not mine anymore, right? And now I'm just looking for whose $20 is this, right? Who needs this $20? Now, I'm not saying it out loud, but I'm looking and I'm praying, God, who needs this money right here, right? And so when I come across that person, Now I don't have to decide, well, am I really going to give him this money? Right? God, do you really want me to be $20 less than I have right now? No, I've already made that decision. I've already let go of it in my mind and in my heart. And now I see that person, I see the need, and I'm ready to meet it. I'm ready to help. I think that should be something that we should really challenge ourselves to do. Have some of our resources set aside to help others. That could be our time, right? Maybe you set aside a weekend and say, hey, I'm going to look for somebody to help this weekend. Or maybe you set aside a Saturday. Maybe you set aside a resource. Maybe you have a tractor or something and you know some people that might be in need of a tractor, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be money, but the idea is that we should be looking for how we can help others. And I want to close with this example. It's a very popular example, but I think it fits up this passage and sums it up very nicely. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1, right? So this is after Jesus has ascended back up into heaven, and now the disciples have gathered, right? And we've had the day of Pentecost, and now they're going to go out and start to declare the gospel. Acts 3, 1 through 10, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. After seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms, right? So he asked. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us, right? He said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. We should have that same mentality. Maybe we have the ability to give money. Maybe we don't. But what do we have that we can offer to others to show them God's love? We didn't deserve God's grace. We didn't do anything to earn it. God gave it freely to us. Even our own breath we have from God. Our very life we have from God. We should have the idea that we want to honor God with it by giving to others. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word that guides and directs and gives us wisdom. Lord, we shouldn't take one verse out of context, right? You want us to be responsible with our money. We have a responsibility to take care of our family. We have a responsibility to pay our bills. But Lord, you have put in us a heart of compassion, a desire to help others. And even if we don't have that desire, Lord, you've given us a command to set aside some of our money to help others. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, you know, as Paul encouraged the Corinthian church, do that at the beginning of the week. At the beginning of the week, set aside some money that you can help others. And Lord, if we don't have money, we can set aside time, we can set aside attention, we can make phone calls, we can write notes, so many different things we can do to show other people your great love. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us this week to begin to do those things, that when we give towards others, Lord, we would first check to make sure that we're doing it out of a genuine love for others, and that we're giving freely, that we're not giving out of bitterness or out of resentment, but cheerfully and thankfully. And Lord, I just pray that as we do that, Lord, you will bless. You will bless. And that's what you promised us. So pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are